Thanks, guys. Good job. Very good job. This was in the shade when we showed up, but we're in the sun. That's why I'm wearing this hat. Well, it's great being here.
Man.
Somebody was asking Gary Simmons before church, is it hot there in Fresno in the summer? I'm like, dude, our cold temperature last night was 75, and apparently the high temperature today here is 75. So, you know, we're glad to be here. This is great. Jan and I came to Bakersfield 6 months ago, so we're still getting to know some people. We were joking about coming over to the slow church, a bunch of slow people over here. What do you guys actually call yourself? What's the church called? The
801?
Not the 805 church. That's down there in San Diego. All right, we have to unmute it. Thank you very much. Unmute. So that means hello. Oh, there we go. Great. So anyway, we're doing a series on Hebrews in Bakersfield. But I already did Hebrews 11 all last November. So I thought instead I'll just do Romans 4. So we're going to just do a lesson from Romans 4. Actually, there's a story behind this because a few years ago, we were in San Diego. It was the singles Devo. And the bro who was supposed to do the Devo didn't show up. He just punted. And so it was the song before the lesson. And I'm saying to my friend Juan, so who's going to preach? Juan says, I'll preach. I said, no, I'll preach. So I said to Jen, what should I preach on? She said, Romans 4. But it was the last verse of the song before we went up there. But the problem is I'd never preached on Romans 4. All right, so I opened my Bible to Romans 4 and then preached for half an hour. So amen. So that's a good one because we can always talk about faith. The subject of our lesson today is pretty simple. It's faith.
Amen. Come on.
What's the theme of the book of Romans? Well, let's go to Romans 1:17. We'll find out. It's right there. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Actually, in the Greek, it says, the righteousness that is from faith to faith. So where does our righteousness start?
Faith.
And where does our righteousness end?
Faith.
So let's read a little bit about the righteousness that is by faith. I'll read Romans 4, 1 through 3. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about. But not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now he's talking about kind of the theme of Romans. He's talking about the fact that, you know, those Gentiles, they were toast because of their sin. And, you know, the Jews heard that, you know, Romans 1, Jews heard that and thought, man, you're right. Those Gentiles, they're toast, man. They're toast because of their sin. And then he gets to Romans chapter 2, and he says, yeah, and the Jews are just the same as the Gentiles. They just sinned a different way, you know? And then in Romans 3, he says, you know, we're just a bunch of wretches, right? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But then, oh, I love Romans 3, starting in verse 23, because we're justified by grace. It says, the way it works is Jesus died so God could be just and at the same time the one who justifies those who have faith in Christ. Because what does God's justice say about sin? How about Romans 6:23? The wages of sin is death. So we deserve death. And God's justice, it's kind of different. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of different. Because God's idea of justice is to allow his own son to die so that we would not have to die. That's the righteousness we have. It's by faith. So what did Abraham, our father, according to the flesh, discover? Now, is Abraham our father according to the flesh? No. So who's Paul talking to? He's talking to the Jews. And so we're kind of sitting in on this conversation. Paul's talking to the Jews, and we're kind of like, we're privileged to this little conversation. So what did the Jews learn with regard to righteousness? Well, one thing for sure, it wasn't gained by works, that's for sure. It says here that Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Here's a good question. What did Abraham believe? You know, what do we need to believe? You know what Abraham believed? Abraham believed that if God said it was going to happen, it was going to happen. Yeah. Let's go to Genesis 15, 1 through 6. I believe Abraham is the most important person in the Old Testament, other than God. Because really, the whole Bible story kind of goes around Abraham. And it was his faith that led to the Jews becoming the Jews and led to us becoming saved, indirectly. After this, Genesis 15, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, well, sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is of your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And here's the key verse. And Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham believed. I don't know how old he was. You know, 90-something years old. He's pretty old. Abraham looked at his body, said to himself, yeah, I still got it. Then he looked at Sarah, I don't know, 85, 90 years old. And he thought, not looking too good. But you know what? Abraham believed God. So that's the question. This sermon has got about the simplest message of any sermon you'll ever have. And it's this. Do you believe God? But you know what? The good news is, if you believe God, it will be credited to you as righteousness. So you mean I don't have to do this, that, and the other thing to be saved? Nope. In fact, what did Abraham discover? Let's go back to Romans 4. What did Abraham discover with regards to works? Romans 4. It says, in fact, Abraham was justified by works. If Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about. But you know what? Before God, on Judgment Day, we have nothing to boast about except the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, there's the famous story of the guy who was going across Niagara Falls on the rope, on a bicycle. And there's this big crowd. And he goes across, all the way across, comes all the way back on the bicycle and says, do you guys believe that I can go across Niagara Falls on this bicycle? They said, oh, yeah, yeah, you can definitely do it. He says, well, I want somebody to get on the bike with me. You know, they didn't really actually believe in him. You know what I'm saying? Let's read verse 4 through 8, Romans 4, 4 through 8. Now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts in God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. Now, according to this passage, a true Christian doesn't do any works. No, that's not what it says. No, that's actually not what it says. It says, to the one who does not work but trusts in God. So, working for God is not the opposite of trusting in God, okay? That's not what we're talking about. In fact, I believe the kind of trust that we're talking about is the kind that would lead to people doing all kinds of work for God. You know what it says in Galatians 5:6? It says, the only thing that matters is faith expressing itself in love. And see, that's the freedom that God has given us, that we're not on this treadmill, you know, of constantly doing a bunch of stuff. You know, we're saved by grace. To work, in the context of Romans 4, is to have obligation. You know, in Galatians 5:1, it says, if Christ has set you free, you're free indeed.
Yeah.
Free from what? The answer is free from obligation. See, what God has set us free from is have-to Christianity.
Right.
What he's given us is get-to Christianity.
Yeah.
We get to serve God in all kinds of ways, but already saved. That's what Abraham learned. What do we gain by our works? Almost nothing. What do we gain by our faith? Righteousness. Everlasting life. That's what we gain. You know, faith, the Greek word is pistos. The word, it has different meanings. Sometimes faith means simply believing something, believing a fact. Sometimes faith means trusting God. Sometimes in Hebrews 3, faith means obeying God. But in Romans chapter 4, what it means is trusting in God's promises. So my question is, do you trust in God's promises? Let's read on. The wind is changing pages on me, but I'm back. Here we go. Romans 4, 9 through 12. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? And which are we? We're the uncircumcised. In fact, believe it or not, even if you've been circumcised, you're the uncircumcised in this passage, just so you know. Unless you're Jewish. Have you been circumcised, Emmer?
I'm Tariq.
Tariq. Oh. That's twice that I already did that. Have you been circumcised? That's personal information. All right. That's personal information. We could ask his wife. I'm sure she would know. But we have I? Yes, I have been circumcised. But it was not on the eighth day. It was on the second day, I believe.
Not sure.
All right, there you go. All right, anyway, is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And he received circumcision as a sign, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then he is the father of all who believe, but have not been circumcised, like Tariq, even if he has, because we don't know. All right? But in order that the righteousness might be credited to them, and he's also the father of the circumcised, who are not only circumcised, but have followed the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. Now, he seems to be making kind of too big of a deal about which came first. Which came first, his righteousness or his circumcision? But the point is this, his circumcision had nothing to do with his righteousness. It wasn't the works that mattered, it was the faith that mattered. All right, and it says here, who's going to be saved? Verse 12, he is the father of the circumcised, who are not only circumcised, but also who follow in the footsteps of our father Abraham, who had before he was circumcised. So the ones who are saved are the ones who are going to follow in the footsteps of Abraham. So how do we follow in the footsteps of Abraham? Well, one thing is, we do it by following him out of the city of Ur. You know, Abraham left everything behind. In fact, let's go to Genesis 12. We're going to learn the lesson about faith from our father Abraham. Father Abraham. I heard her singing that. Had many sons. And many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them. So are you. So let's Amen. All right, great. Genesis 12, 1 through 5. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I'll make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the people of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions that he accumulated, and the people that he acquired in Haran. They set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. So God said to Abraham, go, and don't ever come back. And if you're going to walk in the steps of Abraham, you're going to do what Abraham did, which means you're going to leave everything behind and going to walk the rest of your life by faith. You know what? If you're a disciple, that's exactly what you already did. You read Luke 9, 23. You read Luke 14. And Jesus says, unless you give up everything you have, you cannot be my disciple. I want to ask a question. How many of you have given up everything you had in order to follow Jesus? Raise your hand. Amen. Then you've started on the journey. You're started on walking by faith. You know what? If you're going to follow Abraham, you're going to leave everything behind. But then you're going to go to Mount Moriah. That's a tough place to walk to, isn't it? Because Mount Moriah, that's where you give up your treasured possessions. That's where Abraham was asked to give up his one and only son. Let's go there. Let's go to Genesis 22. This was the greatest act of faith, I believe, probably in the whole Bible, anywhere, is what Abraham did in Genesis 22. Because God said to him to go to Mount Moriah and there to sacrifice his one and only son. Which son? The son he promised him in Genesis 12, and then he promised him again in Genesis 15. And it was his trust that God would give him a son that created the righteousness that saved him. Genesis 22, verse 10. I'll go back to verse 9. When they had reached the place that God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you've not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up there, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over, he took the ram, he sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I'll make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. If you're going to follow in the footsteps of Abraham, we're going to follow to Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah is where you lay down the blessing that God has given you on the altar. Abraham didn't hold back his one and only son. So God said, I swear. Now, God doesn't normally swear, does he? It's kind of like the movie, Oh God. Now, you got to be really old to remember the movie, Oh God. You got to be really old. Never mind. Okay, Gary remembers. Chris remembers. there's a scene in which he's on trial. And ask him to swear, you know, to God. He says, so help me, me. So help me, me. You know, God wouldn't normally swear to something. But he said to Abraham, because you gave up your one and only son, I swear. You know what he swore? He swore that we would be here today, essentially. He said, I swear that these people gathered here in this park, they're going to be saved by faith. I swear that I'm going to send the Messiah, and your children are going to be like the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. Which is harder, to work for God or to trust in God? That's a good question. You know, I don't even know the answer. Which is harder for you? To work your butt off for God or to trust in God? Because you know what? If you trust in God, guess what's going to happen? You're going to work for Him. Because He wants you to do some stuff. He created you to do good works, didn't He?
Yeah.
Abraham believed God. It was credited to him as righteousness. Back in Romans 4. I want you to get a picture of what it means to trust God. Verse 13. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those dependent on the law are heirs, faith means nothing, and the promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. Now, what's the law mean here? Law means doing things in order to live. And faith means trusting in God in order to live. So how are you living? Are you doing stuff in order to be righteous? Or are you trusting in God in order to be righteous? And Paul says, where there's no law, there's no transgression. Now, wait a minute. Good luck saying that to the policeman who pulls you over. Says, we don't live according to the law anymore. So, therefore, I didn't break the law. Now, what he's saying there is, if you're relying on the law, then you're accountable to every single sin you ever did. But if you're relying on Christ, if you're putting your faith in God, then there is no law. Right? We've been set free from the law. We're free to serve, like I said, not because we have to, but because we want to. And how about you, but that's a lot more fun.
Yeah.
Let's keep reading. We're almost done with the chapter here. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. So who are Abraham's offspring? He says, he's the father of everyone who trusts in God, who lives by faith. So again, I want to ask you, what are you trusting in? Your awesomeness? Your greatness? How amazing you are? Are you trusting in the blood of Jesus? If we walk by faith, if you keep walking by faith, then the day you die, you're going to walk straight into heaven. That's the key, really. That's the key. And I love what he says here. What God does is, if we trust in him, he makes things that are not as if they were. He gives life to the dead, and he calls into being things that were not. So outside of Christ, what was not? How about your righteousness? How about hope? Outside of Christ, how much hope did you have? None. Because otherwise, when you're dead like Rover, dead all over. It's not so good. Outside of Christ, you did not have a fulfilling marriage, but God gave you one. Outside of Christ, you had a life with no purpose. But in Christ, God gave you a life with purpose. God made things that were not as if they were, and then he made them to be, in fact. In fact, what did Abraham receive that was not? He received a son, 99 years old. God gave him a son. So I want to ask you a question. I want you to have a vision. What is God going to call into being in your life through faith? Just get a picture right now. Just imagine right now. What is God going to bring to life in your life? Because God is in the business of taking things that are not and making them to be.
Amen.
You know, really, this last section is the key to understanding Abraham's faith. So let's read verse 18 all the way to the end of the chapter. Because here's the standard of what it means to walk by faith. Just look to Abraham. If you ever wonder what it means to live by faith, just look at Abraham. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it has been said, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. That is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sin and was raised to life for our justification. This is what it means to live the kind of hope, the kind of faith that Abraham had. He hoped where there was no hope. I mean, seriously, it was hopeless. And a lot of you know what we're talking about, because a lot of you were living hopeless lives. And yet you believe. You know what happened? God gave you hope. You know, Abraham looked at the facts. The facts was 99 years old and his wife's about 90 years old. That's the facts. But you know what? Faith laughs at the facts. Faith believes that God can bring resurrection from the dead. He can take a marriage that is just hanging on. And we're talking, the divorce papers have already been filed. Right, Oscar? And he can raise that thing from the dead. He can do it. Si se puede. Is that the way to say it? I know this is the Spanish, but can you say that about God? Notice what it says here. He did not waver in unbelief. How many of you have wavered in unbelief at least every once in a while? All right? Yeah, all of you. Okay, great. All right? But hopefully you're challenged by Abraham. But really, God wants us to not waver in unbelief. And I really like this phrase. It says, he was fully persuaded. Now, if you look at Abraham, you realize he was not perfect, all right? He had his moments of doubt, right?
Yeah.
With the whole thing, with it, telling the Pharaoh that his wife is his sister, or, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But God says he was fully persuaded. Are you fully persuaded that God can bring you to heaven? Are you fully persuaded that the blood of Jesus really does cleanse you from every single sin? If you are, then you can live a life of freedom. You can live a life like Abraham. How do you know you're fully persuaded? Because you live a life of faith. It says here that he did not waver. So my question is, do you waver in unbelief? Well, honestly, all of us waver every once in a while, all right? But that's what God is calling us to. Stop wavering. Put your hope totally in God.
Amen.
Live a life that depends not on your awesomeness,
right,
not on how many times you shared your faith, not on whether you prayed an hour or 2 minutes. It's based on the righteousness of God. Abraham believed, and God raised his son figuratively from the dead. Right? That's what it says in Hebrews 11, verse 18. Figuratively, Abraham received his son back from the dead. So that's what I want to leave you with, is just the idea of, very simply, what do you believe? Here's what Abraham believed. He believed that if God says it's going to happen, then it's going to happen.
Amen.
And God says that you're going to be raised from the dead and you're going to live with him for eternity.
Yeah.
And you know what? God's going to make it happen. Who do you know who walks by faith? Just think of somebody you know personally. You say, that sister, that brother walks by faith. Let me give you a suggestion. Maybe just walk with that person. Imitate their faith. And you will be more like Abraham. Brothers and sisters, are you fully persuaded? Now, I'm fully persuaded that there's some tri-tip and some chicken coming up. So I think I better bring this sermon to an end. But thank you very much for listening in.
Well, thank you, John, for the call for all of us to be men and women of faith. I want to encourage you right now to think about one thing in your life that's a situation, a circumstance, a hardship, a trial, a difficulty. And maybe it's something that's happened this summer. Maybe it's something you're facing right now. I want you to face the facts. I'm sure many of us have thought about that right now, that one thing, and we face the facts. And I want you to respond to the message.